This is Artist Stories. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with Spiritual, rapper, musician, and producer.
Hey, what's up? I'm happy to be on here. I haven't gotten a chance to be on a platform to speak like this in a while.
So glad that you could be with us today. As part of the underground hip-hop scene in Tucson, Spiritual, how would you describe the sound coming out of Tucson to an outsider?
Right now, Southwest Soul. I would say Southwest Soul. A while ago, I called it a down south dub, and because it's Southwest, you know, so it's just like that. It's this like a deep, dense, like funk. That's very it's very visceral. It's very very smoky. It's either like, you know, like in the sun and you know, hot, or it's like, you know, really dark in the nighttime.
Could you talk to us about your influences and maybe your creative process?
You know, when I was little, like I used to listen to like a lot of Al Green and Lowrider Oldies and you know, Spanish music, like Mexican, man, like whether like Norteño, Tejano, Sureño, you know, and then, you know, it jumps to just like, you know, I grew up listening to 50 Cent a lot of Mac Dre, a lot of like Biggie Smalls, a lot of, you know, like Brother Lynch, just like super underground, like really, really dark hip hop. It's always like really ranged from like light funk, like soul searching funk and soul and jazz, to like really dark reality raps. Like it's hard to find the balance for sure.
What about your personal influences?
My older brother, he was really the one who was like, he was rapping when I was like maybe like 6, 7, 8 around there, and just to like just to know that like him and his friend across the street like make, like they could make music, they could record, it was mind blowing. And creatively, I started off as just like downloading beats online for him to rap to, and you know, really like creating a world for his voice. And little by little, I just like, from there, I was like, well, I'll just make him beats. Like, I know what he likes. Like, we can't, you know, obviously just keep reusing people's stuff. And from there, it was just like, I just kept producing and digging deeper into that pocket. I ended up just like running with it, you know, like just running with it by myself. I fell in love with it so much. And my brother's 10 years older than me, so he had to deal with like, you know, a lot of life a lot faster than I did. You know, he ended up, you know, having kids and stuff. He's about to have another baby in May.
You know, we talked a little bit before this conversation, and you had mentioned that you grew up in Barrio Hollywood. And I wonder about how that influenced your sound.
Oh man, it was the whole sound. It was everything. We have like we have OGs too, like you know, Big Looter. There's a lot of people here on the West Side who was making music and making noise, you know, and just performing at like local venues and stuff. And he was in a little crew called the DSK for a while. They, you know, they last a little while doing shows at clubs and stuff. And growing up in this area was just like you feel it. You feel it, especially like the street that I'm on. Like, you know, I step outside and, you know, growing up, you kind of just got to be ready for anything. Just, you know, anything could happen at any given moment, really. And I think that that kind of pressure, it, you know, it makes or breaks you. People like me find almost comfort in it, you know, because it's like, well, anything could happen. Like, you know, so I think musically too, creatively, it made me just like, you know, boundless. Because I feel like, especially like Barrio Hollywood is used to be a very live place. Live. The people were live. You couldn't, you know, when people think of Barrio Hollywood, they only think of, you know, there's only like a couple of people. You know, the type of person you are, it's, you know, you're either like, you know, laid back and reserved and just trying to survive and, you know, just staying quiet out of survival. Or, you know, the pressure, I think, makes you loud. And even obnoxious and very aggressive, because you don't really know how to deal with everything going on. So it's either going to make you look inwards or, you know, act outwards.
How do you think that has influenced your music?
Depending on who you ask and, you know, depending on what day it is, I think you'll get a different response about what kind of person I am. For the most part, I could be a little loud just because I can't stand a quiet room. Like, I just can't. Like, I think musically, it definitely helped me really refine what I mean through my music and what I'm feeling, you know, because I think if you listen to my music, like it's either very very loud and very like what I'm saying, whether like the words or how I'm saying them is very in your face, or it's very very composed. You know, like trading off so many hats between production, writing, composing, recording, arranging, pretty much everything. There is no real formula, at least for myself yet. And in a way, that's a lie, you know, because I have presets and I have programs and I have stuff that like, you know, it you're programming, you're sequencing, you know. So regardless, it's a formula. But in and outside of that, you know, it's all feeling. I'm a producer and I'm a vocalist. With that being said, a lot of people send me a lot of production. If a producer sends me a beat that they just like want, they want to hear my voice on it. They think like, hey, I think this would like, you know, like I really enjoy what you do. I would like to be a part of it. This is what I have to contribute. A good 90% of the time, I'll like record like that night. You know, like I'll get a message like, hey, man, I sent you a pack. You know, I sent you a zip file, like some beats and stuff. I'm going to listen to the whole pack and I'm going to pick my favorite one and I'll most likely make a song like then and there on the spot. You know, like I said, being that I'm a producer, sometimes I have production that I sit on for years until like the moment that I'm like, you know what? I know exactly what to do to this. It's very spontaneous as much as like, it's planned and written in that it's meant for me to do, because when I feel it, when I just feel it, like I especially like I said, being a vocalist and a producer, like I have to be in and out of moods. And when I feel the words just like pour out of me like water, you know, like that's when I know like, okay, it's time to record. I realized within these past couple years, and I kind of knew this, but I didn't know it. You don't know it until you don't have people around you, you know, with everything that we've gone through. I really rely on my team and my friends and my people and like to build a synergy in the room for me to even like want to make music, you know, like, you know, during the pandemic, there was times when I'd come to my little studio and just sitting down in the room that is quiet with no one in it, it was like overwhelming. It was awkward. It was too awkward. Like I would just like hop on a FaceTime with my friends or something. Like I realized how much I rely on like the energy of other people's, you know, on other people's energy in the room, you know. And it's funny because if you ask the people in the room, like they might just feel like, oh, we see the back of his chair most of the time, you know, he's not even talking to us, like they probably don't even realize how much they do for me, you know, at all, really.
Why did you choose Spiritual as your artistic name?
So I feel like I used to just be like a producer rapper, very hard, like in the hip-hop. I used to go by the name of Mike Checks the Mac, and my brother actually named me that. Before then, I went by a Proper One as a producer, and he gave me that name, you know what I mean? It was a name that I used to write with, you know. I was into graffiti like way before I was into music, you know. So I always had the elements of hip hop in me, like in everything that I've done, you know, like that, and that's what I mean about like spontaneous life, but things also being written in the soil for you. But to wrap it all up, I came to Spiritual because When I was young, I always used to ask like adults and just other people about like religion. I always just like had such a curiosity and such a rebellion against like just organized religion, and for my own reasons. And I remember, I'd be lying if I said I didn't get this from my brother, but I remember I would always when I'd ask people, you know, like, what are you? You know, are you Catholic? Are you Christian? Are you, you know, what do you believe in? Do you believe in God? Yada, yada. Like I was asking these questions from a very young age, like, you know, 7, 8. Like when people would ask me, I'd always tell them like, you know, I'm just spiritual. I've always been very curious about just like what people feel, you know. And when people would ask me what do you believe in? You know, how were you raised? I'd always just tell them like, I'm just spiritual. Like I'm just a spiritual person. Like, you know, I follow my instincts. I try to follow my heart as well as possible, as you know, the PSY being silent. And I was thinking of like psychedelic spirituality, or even psychotherapeutic spirituality. it's been around for a long time. You know, meditation, it's all in the mind, you know, the power of the mind, you know, it's all inside, you know, and it's all up there. Even just the, you know, the etymology of everything, you know, my real name is Miguel, so I grew up as Mike. And Mike checks is like, you know, every rapper says, Mike check. People are just checking the microphone. But my thing was also like, you know, music and money, you know, Mike checks, you know, like there's a lot of flips in that. So to go from Mike checks to Mac, to be a rapper is to be boastful, to be very, it's all about ego. You know what I mean? Mike checks to Mac, like that says everything, like rapping, money, and women. You know, to be a Mac is to have a huge ego and to think that, you know, to be a dog, you know what I mean? As a man, as the way that we're, you know, raised to be, like that was the whole thing. And for me to take a step back and away from that, you know, I always knew that it was deeper than that. It was more than that. But I had to take a step back and give myself like, you know, this name, like, it was self-proclaimed, but at the same time, it wasn't. I always felt that way. I can't really explain it. It's just something like in my being and in my heart where I always knew that I was this. Young and Numb was this project that I released. It's technically like my debut as spiritual, but it was like 126 songs and I couldn't put it out anywhere. And it was still technically under Mike checks, but it was just like, it's all these things, you know, and these pieces leading to who and where I am now. But I couldn't, I just made like a Dropbox link and like pushed it on my social media and, you know, by word of mouth. And whoever downloaded it, you know, and it's like, you know, it's all these songs and it's just this feeling like you, I think like I haven't listened to it in a long time and I still want to revamp it and find a way to package it right now. Cause you know, I can make like volumes of that, you know, I could technically make like 10 volumes of that if I really wanted to. And, it was just this huge transition. You know, there was all these things going on in the world.
When you're, you know, doing your thing, how do you talk to yourself in terms of like, okay, this is what success looks like for me. This is what I want to see.
Being so attached to my work, me just doing this out of, you know, and obviously like a lot of people do, but doing this out of like my full genuine love, sometimes it's hard for me to have goals because my overall goal is to enlighten the consciousness. You know, I think everyone deserves nirvana. From my position, like starting music at such a young age, now my goals, they are starting to turn into money just because of the fact that we need to survive off of this thing, this paper, this idea, you know. But at the end of the day, the real, and that's just for survival. That's just to keep, you know, the house, just to keep the house up. The goal definitely, it fluctuates, you know, with your life. It fluctuates with your situation, you know, because sometimes my goal literally can be something as simple as like, man, I wanna make some music with some of my friends who I haven't gotten a chance to make music with in a long time, just because I've been on a solo mission and they've been on a solo mission.
What about collaboration? Who do you like to work with and why?
Who do I like to work with and why? Oh man, that's such a hard question. Just because I collaborate with so many people, artistically, sonically, in so many different ways. We all trade off so many hats, you know. It's more so the act of collaborating that I love more, because I can't really like I love everybody I collaborate with. You know, I think definitely the people I. The people, you know, the people I've made the most music with, I think it shows for itself the easier it happens. And anybody can agree with that. When you find someone who you can, music just happens, whether rapping, whether production, like when it just happens by itself, the most natural way and form possible, that's what you love the most. And you're going to keep chasing that, you know. I think the act of collaboration itself, building that synergy, human connection, that's really what does it. Like I said, going back to the internet, you can email back and forth all day, you know, sending beats and this and that. because I don't like to do that for the most part. I like to be in a room with another artist, whether producer, vocalist, whatever, and we're gonna build a synergy and energy in the room, and that's gonna channel into the music inevitably. Like if I'm cool, if we can talk about anything for hours, the music's gonna happen by itself. I think that's when the real bubble ups and things that almost weren't supposed to happen, but they were meant to happen. When you find someone who even over the internet there's a connection with, you know, like if as a producer you find a rapper who can rap on all of your beats and they all sound really good, you know, that's special. Like it's, and you know, you that's when you hold on to things like that. A lot of music comes out of that. I just released an album called The Free God with my friend Appetite Ish from Phoenix, and this collaboration was you know, my past like four projects have all been collaborations, and this one I was going back and forth from Tucson to Phoenix to finish this album with him. It was crazy because I was putting in so much work so close to my city but outside of my city. It was just special because me and him have known each other for like two, maybe 3 years. He saw me at a few shows here in town at Hoco Hotel Congress, and he just like introduced himself, and little by little we just kept like staying in contact, and it just happened naturally. You know, the time before the project before that was this project Rally Kisan with my friend Ray and my friend Round One. And that one too, it happened naturally. Me and Ray, you know, prior to that, me and him have made a whole tape together, you know, called Two Birds Get Stoned. Even before that Rally Kisan tape came out, I had a project with this producer Aramzy, and you know, it's just all this synergy, you know, and all of us we're just all friends. Like literally, we're all friends who like to hang out together, and inevitably the music just comes out naturally, you know. I think one of the strongest collaborations I had was with Lasso, and he you know, he's out there in Detroit, and he's our OG, you know, and he's on Mellow Music, and I went out there. I think that one was it was really life changing because I went out to Detroit to spend time with him, to you know, spend real time with him in real time in life and physical action, to be out there to literally just spend time and hang out, talk about music, talk about our lives, and talk about everything we're going through, just to channel into it in the studio, to be able to like take yourself somewhere else and remain yourself and adapt to that environment and soak up all the energy and all the history and everything, and being able to channel it or put it in, encapsulate it into this one thing, it's out of this world. That's when, you know, you start creating your own genre. Collaboration will pull something out of you that you might have not even known was there, and vice versa for the other person. Human connection, it's inevitable, and it's like undeniable how strong and how powerful that is for our psyche, for our health, you know, for everything. You can't do it all by yourself, you know, inevitably. Even if you're a solo artist, solo rapper, whatever, like you're not making it happen by yourself. Like you're lying if you said you made it happen by yourself. Like if it's, like I said, a solo rapper, like he has a team and they all sacrifice time and energy and effort to put into that one person. And that type of belief is what makes things happen. You know, regardless of the situation you're in, it's happening because of collaboration. There's no way around it. Even inside a studio, there's a recording engineer, there's a sound engineer, there's a mixing engineer, there's a producer, there's all these different people who have to work together to get this one product. Collaboration is key. At the end of the day, collaboration is key.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Today, we heard from rapper, producer, and musician Spiritual. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for Artist Stories is provided by Benjamin Supply, presenting a full spectrum of hardware and plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath, and their gallery, Tucson, offering national and local art in both the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Buildings on 6th Street and 7th Avenue. Call 777-7000 or visit benjaminsupply.com or gallerytucson.com.
quiero fumar. Quiero quemar. Quiero prender. Lo que yo no sé.